Good afternoon. Welcome to Ramus Communications Internet Radio. This is Jim White,
Emily Osmond,
and Anne Courtney
from the Legion of Mary, Immaculate Conception Presidium of St. Mary the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, USA. Today is August the 17th, 2018. Last Tuesday, August the 14th, was the feast day of Maximilian Kolbe. Before we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we would like to share with you the life of St. Maximilian Kolbe. After the Divine Mercy prayer, we invite you to pray with us the novena for the legal protection of human life. St. Maximilian Kolbe. St. Maximilian Kolbe was born in Raimund Kolbe on January the 8th, 1894, in the Kingdom of Poland, part of the Russian Empire. He was a Polish Franciscan priest and a martyr in the concentration camp of Auschwitz during World War II. He is remembered as a martyr of charity for dying in place of another prisoner who had a wife and children. St. Maximilian Kolbe was very active in promoting the Immaculate Virgin Mary and is known as the Apostle of Consecration to Mary. Much of his life was strongly influenced by a vision he had of the Virgin Mary when he was 12. He mentioned, "That night I asked the Mother of God what was to become of me. Then she came to me holding two crowns, one white, the other red. She asked me if I was willing to accept either of these crowns. The white one meant that I should persevere in purity, and the red one that I should become a martyr. I said that I would accept them both." 1 year after his vision, Kolbe and his elder brother Francis joined the conventual Franciscans. In 1910, Kolbe was given the religious name of Maximilian after being allowed to enter the novitiate, and in 1911, he professed his first vows. At the age of 21, Kolbe earned a doctorate in philosophy from the Pontifical Gregorian University. He would also earn a doctorate in theology by the time he was 28. St. Maximilian Kolbe organized the Militia Immaculata, that's the Army of the Immaculate One, after witnessing demonstrations against Pope St. Pius X and Benedict XV. His goal was to work for the conversion of sinners and enemies of the Church, specifically the Freemasons, and he would so with the intercession of Mary. The founding of Militia Immaculata coincided almost exactly with the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia and the Marian apparitions at Fatima, Portugal. In 1918, he was ordained a priest and continued his work of promoting Mary throughout Poland. Over the next several years, Kolbe took on publishing. He founded a monthly periodical entitled Ryzerzi Nipokalani, Night of the Immaculate. He also operated a religious publishing press and founded a new conventual Franciscan monastery in Nipokalano, which became a major religious publishing center. Kolbe also founded monasteries in both Japan and India. To this day, the monastery in Japan remains prominent in the Roman Catholic Church in Japan. In 1936, Kolbe's poor health forced him to return home to Poland, and once the World War II invasion by Germany began, he became one of the only brothers to remain in the monastery. He opened up a temporary hospital to aid those in need. When his town was captured, Kolbe was sent to prison, but released 3 months later. Kolbe refused to sign a document that would recognize him as a German citizen with his German ancestry and continued to work in his monastery providing shelter for refugees, including hiding 2,000 Jews from German persecution. After receiving permission to continue his religious publishing, Kolbe's monastery acted as a publishing house again and issued many anti-Nazi German publications. On February the 17th, 1941, the monastery was shut down. Kolbe was arrested by the German Gestapo and taken to Poyek prison. 3 months later, he was transferred to Auschwitz. Never abandoning his priesthood, Kolbe was the victim of severe violence and harassment. Toward the end of his second month in Auschwitz, men were chosen to face death by starvation to warn against escapees. Kolbe was not chosen, but volunteered to take the place of a man with a family. It is said during the last days of his life, Kolbe led prayers to Our Lady with the prisoners and remained calm. He was the last of the group to remain alive. After 2 weeks of dehydration and starvation, the guards gave him a lethal injection of carbolic acid. The stories tell that he raised his left arm and calmly awaited death. Saint Maximilian Kolbe died on August the 14th, and his remains were cremated on August the 15th, the same day as the Assumption of Mary's feast day. Recognized as the servant of God, Kolbe was beatified as a confessor of the faith on October the 17th, 1971, by Pope Paul VI, and canonized by Pope John Paul II on October the 10th, 1982. Pope John Paul II declared Kolbe not a confessor, but a martyr. Kolbe is often depicted in a prison uniform with a needle being injected into his arm. He is the patron saint of drug addicts, prisoners, families, and the pro-life movement, and his feast day is celebrated on August the 14th.
Our church also celebrated a wonderful, glorious day this past week, August 15th, the Feast of the Assumption of the Mother of God, a holy day of obligation. The Assumption of the Virgin Mary is depicted many times throughout our Catholic history, and also the fourth glorious mystery of the Rosary is in memoriam of this great feast. What a miracle. Today, Catholics around the world mark the Feast of the Assumption of Mary, commemorating the end of her earthly life and Assumption into heaven on August 15th. But while the feast day is a relatively new one, the history of the holiday and the mystery behind it has its roots in the earliest centuries of Christian belief. As her earthly life comes to an end, the Assumption helps us to understand more fully not just Mary, the Mother of God, and her life, but it helps us to always focus our gaze to eternity. We see in Mary the logic of the Assumption as the culmination of Mary's life, Dr. Bunsen from EWTN states. A Eucharistic requirement for that day is very fitting. The dogma of the Assumption of Mary, also called the Dormition of Mary, in the Eastern churches, has its roots in the early centuries of the Church. The Catholic Church teaches that when Mary ended her earthly life, God assumed her body and soul into heaven. This belief traces its roots back to the earliest years of the Church. While a site outside of Jerusalem was recognized as the tomb of Mary, the earliest Christians maintained that no one was ever there, Dr. Bunsen said. According to St. John of Damascus, in the 5th century at the Council of Chalcedon in 451, Roman Emperor Marcion requested the body of Mary, the Mother of God. St. Juvenal, who was Bishop of Jerusalem at the time, replied that Mary died in the presence of all the apostles, but that her tomb, when opened upon the request of St. Thomas, was found empty, wherefrom the apostles concluded that her body was taken up to heaven, the saint recorded. By the 8th century, around the time of Pope Adrian, the church began to change its terminology, renaming the feast day of the Memorial of Mary to the Assumption of Mary, Dr. Bunsen noted. The belief in the Assumption of Mary was a widely held tradition and a frequent meditation in the writings of saints throughout the centuries. However, it was not defined officially until the past century. In 1950, Pope Pius XII made an infallible ex cathedra statement in the Apostolic Constitution Munificentissimus Deus, officially defining the dogma of the Assumption of the Mother of God. By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own authority, we pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory, the Pope wrote. Within the decree, which was passed beforehand to dioceses around the world, Pope Pius XII surveys centuries of Christian writing throughout the writings of numbers of saints on the Assumption of Mary. We have throughout the history of the church an almost universal attestation of this, Dr. Bunsen said, that Mary's testimony of her Assumption is true. We have this thread that runs throughout the whole of the history of the church in support of this dogma. That's significant because it supports the tradition of the church, but it also supports a coming to a deeper understanding of the teachings of the church, of how we rely upon the reflections of some of the greatest minds of our church. What's also notable about the dogma, he added, is that it uses the passive tense, emphasizing that Mary did not ascend into heaven on her own power as Christ did, but was raised into heavenly power by God's grace. Today, the Feast of the Assumption is marked as a major feast day and a public holiday in many countries. In most countries, including the United States of America, it is a holy day of obligation, and Catholics are required to attend Mass, Dr. Bunsen explained, that on major feast days, it's important to mark the significance of the feast as especially vital by emphasizing the necessity of celebrating the Eucharist that day. What could be more fitting than on the Assumption of the Blessed Mother of God to once again focus on her Son on the Eucharist?
Welcome to the Hour of Great Mercy, brought to you by the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium here at St. Mary the Assumption in Hockessin, Delaware. As to the history of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, in 1935, St. Faustina received a vision of an angel sent by God to chastise a certain city. She began to pray for mercy, but her prayers were powerless. Suddenly she saw the Holy Trinity and felt the power of Jesus' grace within her. Then she found herself pleading with God for mercy with the words she heard interiorly.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us.
As she continued saying this inspired prayer, the the angel became helpless and could not carry out the deserved punishment. The next day, as she was entering the chapel, she again heard this interior voice, instructing her now to recite the prayer that the Lord later called the chaplet. This time, after "Have mercy on us," were added the words, "and the whole world." From then on, she recited this form of prayer almost constantly, offering it especially for the dying. In subsequent revelations, the Lord made it clear that the chaplet was not just for her, but for the whole world. He also attached extraordinary promises to its recitation. "Encourage souls to save the chaplet which I have given you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Savior. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation, even if there were a sinner most hardened. If he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will." Prayed on ordinary rosary beads, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy is an intercessory prayer that extends the offering of the Eucharist, so it is especially appropriate to use it after having received Holy Communion at Holy Mass. It may be said at any time, but our Lord specifically told Saint Faustina to recite it during the 9 days before the Feast of Mercy, the first Sunday after Easter. He then added, "By this novena of chaplets, I will grant every possible grace to souls." It is likewise appropriate to pray the chaplet during the hour of great mercy, 3 o'clock each afternoon, recalling the time of Christ's death on the cross. In his revelations to Saint Faustina, our Lord asked for a special remembrance of his passion at that hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins
and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Novena for the legal protection of human life. Abortion is not health care. Abortion advocates speak as if abortion is a health care, a procedure that is morally and emotionally equivalent to surgically removing one's tonsils or appendix. It is often conveyed as so morally neutral that only a few religious outliers find it objectionable. Yet in reality, the vast majority, over 85% of OBGYNs coming from many faiths or no faith, refuse to be associated with or perform an abortion. In addition, according to the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute, 86% of hospitals were not involved in abortion. Finally, even Roe acknowledges that abortion is unlike other procedures performed by a health professional, and that unborn children deserve some protection. Abortion is not health care, and we do a disservice to women and health care providers to pretend it is. In addition to the following prayer, we invite you to offer a sacrifice for this intention. We pray. May a change in the U.S. Supreme Court move our nation closer to the day when every human being is protected in law and welcomed in life. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware. Tony McGinley of Aremus Communications. AJ Laporto, who provided the music. Ann Courtney, Jim White, and the members of the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m.